There's a lost soul who's tired of his sinning.
You are listening to the Daily Doctrine Devotional. This is a daily podcast designed to teach and preach Bible doctrine each weekday throughout the year. This is Evangelist Tim McVeigh asking you to please let others know about this podcast so that they can subscribe or tune in each weekday. At the end of the podcast, we will provide you with subscription information as well as contact information for our ministry. Thank you for listening, and we pray that the Lord will help each of us as we study and preach the Word of God.
And the saints all with gladness are singing the glorious song of the redeemed. Song of the redeemed.
Well, thanks for tuning again to this Thursday edition of the podcast. Pastor Sammy Allen with the Lord now, been gone for a little over 2 years. And Brother Sammy Allen always said, how far is too far? How far is too far? And then he'd say, if you haven't gone outside the bounds of scriptures, you haven't gone too far. You hear people say all the time, you've gone too far. McVeigh is going too far. They may call your name and say, you're going too far. You've taken this thing way too far. I had a man, you should contend with me. He said, you're taking these things way. How far is too far? Well, if you have not gone outside of scriptures, you haven't gone far enough. Now, how far is too far when it comes to praise? People try to identify that. They say, well, some will say, well, David danced before the Lord. Well, David danced out of his clothes before the Lord. Try that today. Hopefully you go to prison. David also danced before the Lord, not before man. He wasn't trying to be seen of man. And so if you're going to dance a holy dance and you do it before the Lord, then I'd say you're not going outside the bounds of scripture. Problem is that you can't do it decently in the church house for the most part. And a lady can't do it decently, period. Just throwing that out there. So how far is too far? Well, when you violate the scripture, when you go too far with God. We're in a day and an hour when men are so afraid of going too far with praise because there's the other element that has gone too far with praise. They begin to speak in other tongues. They begin to speak gibberish. They began to throw themselves on the floor and thrash. That's not praise. That's show of the flesh. It's manifest in the show of the flesh. And yet there are those that truly praise him. There are those that praise him loudly. Those that praise him exuberantly. And are there a lot of phonies in that? Sure, there are a lot of phonies in that. There are a lot of people just doing the show of the flesh. Absolutely the show of the flesh. Some leap, some run the aisle, some swing from the chandeliers. They try to do pull-ups in the tabernacle. They do cartwheels in the dust. So be it. Whatever, let them praise the Lord how they praise the Lord. But you yourself, don't be disobedient to God because there are some you think have gone too far. And don't be disobedient to praise the Most High God because there's some you think have done too much or said too much or gone too far. And I realize, again, a lot of it is show. But if I was so totally discerning what is show, then probably my own preaching would suffer because little humorous remarks and little comments and trying to get a laugh from people, I'd say that's probably show as well. So let's just be honest about that. So unless we have the sobriety and the severity of the 1600s preacher who came out of the Anglican church, got born of God, and goes in a little stone Baptist church outside of a cemetery overlooking the cliffs of Dover and is out there preaching the paint off the walls, and we're going to be sober in all of our ways, let's just take these things to heart. But let us also not criticize those that may just like to praise him. Those that just truly praise him out of a good heart and praise him out of a heart that's been made right in Jesus Christ. Psalm 149, he said, praise ye the Lord, sing unto the Lord a new song and his praise in the congregation of the saints. Now, that new song is spoken of often in the Psalms. Psalm 40 in verse 3, in verse 2, rather, I'll start. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings, and he hath put a new song in my mouth. What is that song? Even praise unto our God. Many shall see it, and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. Now, what is that new song? Well, it's when he's brought out of that horrible pit. He gave him a new song. I think we'll see that new song again, a new song that the psalmist there wrote about. And of course, I believe it was Jesus Christ that came out of that horrible pit. Some say it was David. I believe it was Jesus Christ there. Psalm 98 and verse 1. Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song, for he hath done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm hath gotten him the victory. The Lord hath made known his salvation. When does the Lord make known his salvation? Well, he makes known his salvation in Jesus Christ when he comes to this earth. That's when he says to sing this new song. Psalm 144 and verse 9. I want to be doctrinally right in this, But in Psalm 144, he says, I will sing a new song unto thee, O God, upon a psaltery and upon an instrument of 10 strings, will I sing praises unto thee. I cannot help but look at Revelation, because I believe that's when Jesus Christ is coming to this earth, and they're going to sing a new song. But in heaven, before those 24 elders fell down before the Lord, they have this golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints, and they sung a new song. What is that new song? It's the one that was commanded of them when God delivered them. It's that song that God has ordained for them, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by the blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. That's the song of Jesus Christ. That's a song they're going to sing unto Jesus Christ. It is that new song they sing unto him. But then in Revelation chapter 14 and verse 3, the word of God said, and they sung as it were a new song before the throne and before the beast and the elders, and no man could learn that song but the 144,000 which were redeemed from the earth. And he tells you then more about them. So we see a couple of new songs in Scripture. They are reserved for that time to come. So when he says, praise ye the Lord, sing the Lord a new song, and his praise in the congregation of the saints, he begins to speak of a future day. He begins to speak of that which is to come. There will be two, and by the way, this is written primarily to Israel, for Israel here. I realize you and I can glean from this, absolutely, but he's singing this to those saints, those that will be the 144,000. For he says, let Israel rejoice in him that made him. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their king. So again, he's writing to his own. He's come to his own received him not. Jesus Christ, of course, is going to come again. We do understand that according to Scripture. He's going to establish his kingdom upon this earth according to the Scripture. And therefore, he writes the song. It says, Israel may rejoice. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their king. Why? Jesus Christ is going to be on this earth. Let them praise his name in the dance. There it is. Let them sing praises unto him with the timbrel and harp. So in a day to come, they will dance before the Lord. They will dance with all their might. They will praise him with the timbrel and the harp. But let me just say this. It's not going to be sensual dancing. It's not going to be somebody that a man could look on that and lust in his heart or look at things jiggle and shake that shouldn't jiggle and shake. It's going to be holy before the Lord. It's going to be reserved for the Lord. But that song they sing, that new song they sing, is also reserved for that time. It's reserved to be sung unto him. And I think that I can be pretty dogmatic about that. I don't want to try to separate things that don't need separated. But there's a lot of folks, they dancing before the Lord, but they don't even have the new song of salvation. They're dancing before the Lord. They say it's before the Lord, but they don't even have the assurance of faith. And so they're dancing for what? They're dancing for sensual pleasure, dancing for their own joy, for their own good pleasure. And then in verse 4, for the Lord hath taken pleasure in his people. He will beautify the meek with salvation. Now, Romans 11, 1, go to a couple of New Testament passages about his people. And it's interesting because in Romans 11, 1, I say then, hath God cast away his people? God forbid. For I also am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. See, the Apostle Paul tells us about his people. Then he goes on in verse 2 of that same passage, and he says, God hath not cast away his people which he foreknew. Watch ye not what the Scripture saith of Elias, how he maketh intercession to God against Israel? And so he speaks of these things, and he calls the children of Israel his people. Then in chapter 15 and verse 10 of Romans, he says, and again he says, rejoice ye Gentiles with his people. And again, praise the Lord. That's praise, by the way. All ye Gentiles, and laud him, all ye people. So he tells the Gentiles, praise him with the people of God. Praise him with Israel. Praise him with the saints of God. And it's interesting, you get the end of the book of Revelation, again in Revelation, chapter 21 and verse 3. And he speaks of his people. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them and be their God. What men? Well, the men of the earth, the men that have known Jesus Christ, the men that have bowed the knee to him on this side of eternity. They will be the people of God. Why? They are called the sons of God. They are God's people. And so we see in verse 4, for the Lord taketh pleasure in his people, he will beautify the meek with salvation. That's why he said, blessed are the meek. What? For they shall become the children of God. They're his people. So again, we're looking at messianic, but we're looking to the future. We're looking at that time when Jesus Christ will come and put his feet upon this earth. He will take the throne of David. He will rule and he will reign. And verse 5, let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud upon their beds. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hand. Why? They're going to slay and kill the enemies of God. They come back with Jesus Christ. They're going to rule and reign with Jesus Christ. And those that rise up against him, again, just like they purged the Canaanite from the land, they'll purge them from the land. He said to execute vengeance upon the heathen. That's the Lord when he cometh with 10,000 of his saints. Jude spoke of that, prophesied of that. To execute judgment in verse 7 upon the heathen and punishments upon the people. Why? They're going to rule and reign with Jesus Christ. So this is a day he's speaking of. This is a day which is to come. This is millennial. This is speaking prophecy. Messianic? Absolutely. To bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron. That's why Jesus Christ is going to come. He's going to come to overthrow the kings of this world. Why? They will not bow the knee to him. They've cursed him and mocked him. They will not praise him. They refuse to praise him. He said to execute upon them the judgment written. This honor have all his saints, praise ye the Lord. He tells us it's an honor for his saints to come and overthrow the kings of this earth. What an honor that is. What a blessing that is. What a holy God. This is Psalm 149. I hope you're still praising the Lord. I hope that you're giving him all the praise that he's worthy of, all the praise that's due unto his name. Tomorrow, we're going to do Psalm 150, and then we're going to look at begin another little bit of Psalms as we finish up this week. But would you pray for us? Pray for the podcast. I hope this has been a help to you as we look at this millennial psalm of Jesus Christ.
There's a lost soul who started up his sinning, and he longs to return to the Lord. As he cries for forgiveness and mercy, God is waiting.
You have been listening to the Daily Doctrine Podcast with Evangelist Tim McVeigh. For correspondence, please contact us through our website and someevangelists.com and use the contact form to connect with us. You may also subscribe to the podcast through our website or search for Daily Doctrine Evangelist Tim McVeigh on iTunes, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Audible, or Amazon. To write to us, please use our church address, which is Manasseh Community Baptist Church, 70 Back Hollow Road, Blaine, Pennsylvania, 17006. Thank you for listening, and we pray that the Lord will help each of us as we study and preach the Word of God. Don't forget to subscribe and tune in tomorrow. And remember to look up, for your redemption draweth nigh.
There only was strife. Now the angels of God are rejoicing, for the prodigal child has come home, and the saints all with gladness are singing the glorious song of the redeemed.